Mr. President, good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of September 19th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, no stand approved. Any correspondence, Mr.
President, there is no correspondence this morning.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay. Now's the time, public comment. Mr. Guy, we have any public comment, okay? Public has 3 minutes. When you come up to speak, make sure the microphone's turned on. Green light comes on, you've got 3 minutes. Amber light, you've got 1 minute. And red light, you have no minutes. Renita Harmon.
You want to not see me, changing that law will help. But then the more I talk to people about this law, everybody says the same thing. I want to be here today representing people that work with you that pay rent and stuff. Because everybody I talk to, yeah, they don't know the law, that they can't live in an RV, but they're also complaining about rent. There's people in your office that said, yeah, that rent is getting outrageous. We can't afford to move because we can't afford the rent at the rent. And then I go to class, and my instructor mentions that one of the students is part of the group of people moving from New York, moving here. But do we really want them crowd moving here? Because the rent is cheaper, they think it is, but they don't know our minimum wage is lower. In New York, a CNA might get $30 an hour. Like me, you move here, you're getting $14 an hour. They're not going to be able to afford to live here. They're going to be homeless again. We're going to have New York people here losing houses, being homeless here. How that's going to help us? That's not going to help us. We need to change the laws. There's a video clip I got on my phone right now that's people in New York asking for help. 4,000 apartments empty in New York. Even more in Florida. That's south of us and north of us. If south and north wants to move here because they think it's cheaper and then they find out that minimum wage and they're not paying that much, what we got? A whole bunch of them here homeless. Drugs and crime and all that stuff. They're not going to respect our locals. They're not going to respect people who own their land and had it for years. They're not going to care nothing about the locals because y'all already trying to kick them out by raising the rent. Y'all, it's obvious. If New York can't afford it and them people are moving out them apartments and Florida's moving out, of course we can't. Y'all going to have to change the laws. We're going to have to do something. I know y'all watch news in the morning, but we got to realize now we're going to have to watch a little bit YouTube too, because there's a two-minute YouTube clip I could play for you right now of the guy saying, two guys saying, we need help. It's apartments empty here. They done raised the rent from $700 to $1,000 on them, thinking they can afford it, and they can't afford it. And not just raising the rent, the landlords think they can raise the rent and not fix them. Like I said, I'm homeless still, but I paid my rent, I paid my security deposit, I did everything I was supposed to do to move in that house, but the landlord doesn't want to get running water on in the house. Now, I wouldn't be homeless right now if y'all changed the law and allowed me to live in the RV that I spent all my savings for. Then I'd be on my family land. I still pay the taxes, I still take care of it, and I'm gonna continue doing that. Even though y'all don't allow me to live there, I'm still gonna do what I'm supposed to do. But that's harder.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day. Appreciate you.
You too. Jill Hicks.
Morning.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. My name is Jill Hicks. I live in Chapel Green, Lewis. Today, I am here to say thank you. For the record, I want to say how much I appreciate the effort that went into putting together the September 21st workshop. Todd, when you said there were 95 slides, I thought you were kidding. You know, I thought you said it as an icebreaker. I thought you were kidding because I had underestimated how thorough you and your team would be when it came to accounting for the concerns of the county residents. I was also encouraged by the questions asked and additional input offered by members of County Council, each of you, and the commissioners. I also want to thank Jamie Whitehouse, Hans Medlars, Vince Robertson, and the consultants from AECOM. Also, I want to thank you for asking State Forester Chris Miller to provide additional content, which was so greatly appreciated and informative. Thank you for inviting the public to attend the workshop, arranging for an overflow room, making the workshop available online, and making the recording and presentation available after. I appreciate how at this juncture, you kept the public muted. Because of this, we were able to hear exactly where the county stands without interruption. I hope the public recognizes the amount of work that went into this presentation. It is not possible for us to know at this point the total amount of effort, the behind-the-scenes work that went into the workshop. But I assure you, I believe you are on the right track. You have taken an accurate inventory of my concerns that I have expressed to you in the past. While I was fortunate enough to be seated in the main room, I do understand there were technical issues, particularly in the overflow room. Hopefully the challenges of AV and the space will be overcome in future sessions. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know the work ahead of you will require much time, effort, and thought, and it will not be an easy road. So Godspeed to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, would you check online, please, for any public comments?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Go to the consent agenda. We have one item. Use of existing sewer infrastructure agreement, IUA-1152, Sandpiper Cove, the Cobb property, Johnson's Corner area. Any questions, concerns about this item? Hearing none, I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's Report for September 26, 2023. Item 1, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for August 2023 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 194 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of August. Item number 2, a final reminder for property owners in Sussex County that September 30th is the deadline to pay annual county property taxes. Payments can be made in person, online, by phone, or by mail. Any payments mailed must be postmarked no later than September 30th. Payments made October 1st or later will be subject to penalty. This year's tax bills once again feature an easy-to-read format to help taxpayers better understand their bills and payment options. A number of payment options are available for the public's convenience. A tutorial explaining how to view account information and to make payments is available on the county website at sussexcountyde.gov, property-tax-portal-tutorial. Sussex County accepts tax payments by cash, check, money order, and debit or credit cards. Item 3, I'm pleased to announce that the Government Finance Office Association of United States and Canada has awarded Sussex County its Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for the fiscal year 2024 budget report. This is the sixth year that the county has received this prestigious award, acknowledging its budget report. In order to receive the award, the budget document must serve an entity as a policy document, financial plan, operations guide, and communication device. Congratulations to Gina Jennings, Finance Director, Chief Operating Officer, and Kathy Roth, Deputy Finance Director, for their efforts in achieving this award. Item 4, a reminder, the council will not meet on Tuesday, October 3rd, and the next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, October 10th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President, and congratulations to Ms. Jennings.
Yes, Gina, you and your staff, congratulations again. You do a great job with that budget report every year. The public has no idea how many hours you spend doing that, and not just 8:30 to 4:30.
That's correct.
But thank you for all you and your staff do. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
So the item I have on the agenda is the ORPT grant resolution for Hudson Park. In 2019, County Council provided funds to the Sussex County Land Trust to help purchase a 30-acre parcel along Route 9. The parcel has been designated as Hudson Park. The Sussex County Land Trust has applied for $143,500 outdoor recreation parks and trails grant through the state to complete the second phase of the trailhead to the Lewis Georgetown Trail. The funding from the application will be used to help to construct parking and walking paths for the public. In order to qualify for this grant through the state, the county needs to sponsor the grant application through a resolution. There is no financial commitment to the county. The Sussex County Land Trust will manage the project and the ongoing operations of the park. And I can read the short title of the resolution.
Please do so. Okay.
Be it resolved that the Sussex County Council submits a request to the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Controls Outdoor Recreation Parks and Trails Program for a grant to help finance the construction of Hudson Park as a trailhead to the Lewis Georgetown Rails to Trails.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, Mr. Riley. I was close.
Close.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Mr. Medlars? Only two things today. Slow week.
So the first one we haven't seen in a while, so I really reached back to explain how we got the Comfort Burton tract, how it was financed, how we have a stewardship plan with it, why we have a conservation plan, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an interesting read, and hopefully some of you read it because it's, I guess you haven't seen it in 2 or 3 years. So zero interest loan, which was tied to the original Rehoboth project, which they declined. We got in the competition, which is even better. And so then and you approved the Ford stewardship plan and the conservation plan. That's two council actions you had, we touched on there. You had authorized the procurement of all these downstream properties, which are all in our hands now. So we control the entire Guinea Creek watershed. So we actually took some pictures yesterday, right after the storm, Monday morning, at the Friendship Road crossing, at the crossing to Cannon Road, and the water which came off the field into the sediment trap. And you can see the various steps. The water which crossed Friendship Road, it did have a slight tint on it, but in the past that would have been running full of silt. So right now it just, you know, like, yeah, it was not 100% clean, but it was pretty. If once we have our meadows planted under the wetlands and stormwater project, I think we will get this completely, you know, like a clear running stream.
Sure, that's good.
So this one here deals with the actual piece of the forest. So a few years ago, literally 2 years ago, you awarded the forestry contract, and that was a 4-year unit price contract, and it had some. We had the 2 years of logging and thinning, so this is selective cutting where we just go in, cut certain timbers out to create more light for the hardwoods to come up. You may recall this was a pure pine plantation. It was completely clear-cut about 25 years ago, and all pushed in rows, you know, all the debris, all the stumps, and then just pines planted. So initially there was nothing but pines. The only places where there were hardwoods were in these rows of the old debris, which is very interesting how they grew up in there. So with the clearing, with the partial selective cutting, we actually got some good lights and the hardwoods are propagating better. We need less. And I don't know whether Ms. Jennings ever walked in there and looked at the plant. We planted two stands of hardwoods with, you know, like with trees which exceed the forestry buffer under the planning department. They're good sized trees. So they come up pretty nicely. We did have some losses, but they come up pretty nicely. So year three, we have to plant seedlings with shelters to protect them from deer browsing. When this was bid 2.5 years ago, and I looked this up, and what Mr. Egoff said is correct, the shelter price went from $5 to over $7. And He only bid $725 for the seedling and the shelter. So we would, if he would honor that price, we would force him to lose money by just buying the shelter. So that doesn't make any sense. So we agreed to a new unit price, but because we have such good propagation, we don't need as many. So the end result is we're going to spend less money. So and the same thing is true for the pre-commercial thinning, because so much of the pines were disturbed when he was running his machines around, these little pines, you know, the two-foot pines. We need less pre-commercial thinning, so we need less crew hours. So these are the two unit price and quantity modifications. He's holding his timber logging price, and he's willing to do that for our loop project and the irrigation expansion, because we need these lines cleared out before the excavation contractor comes in to put the pipes in. And the excavation contractors had expressed to me that this was a thankless job and they couldn't find anybody. What they wanted to do is just use the big excavators and push the pines over and just leave them there. And I said, that doesn't work for us. We have to get them out of there so we can then grub the stumps out and lay the pipes. So Mr. Egoff agreed to hold their price, pay us for the pines he cuts out of the loop project, which is very helpful to us, which essentially clears the path for these pipes to go in. So these are the three moving parts, and obviously he needs an extra year because he wants to do one more year of thinning, which is great. So after 2.5 more years, we would have a maturing hardwood mixed forests and a clean stream. So
good.
So where else does Delaware do that in the watershed, which is impaired?
So good question.
That's
I have a question.
That is my question for the state of Delaware.
Yeah. Mr. Schaefer.
Hans, the pipes you're referring, what is that for stormwater?
The pipes I'm referring to are conduits, right, Mr. Lawson?
Conduit pipes for stormwater? Or
Mr. Lawson will give you the details after the meeting.
Anything else?
No, ready.
Okay. Ready for motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the that the requested unit cost adjustments for the Comfort Burton Track Forest Maintenance RFP with Egoff Forest Harvesting Scope Amendments 1-year time extension be approved.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, seconded.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yield. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is we stitched together an approach which checked several boxes in Lockwood. And Ms. Jennings was very instrumental in this as well, because we had to keep the additional monies for Lockwood under the 10% mark so the State Office for USDA Rural Development could fund it without national review. So several ways we got this done. A, through the rebid, you've seen that. You awarded the contract A. Contract B was way too high, we threw that out. We initially intended to rebid contract B for the third time, but when we looked at the opportunity we had by meeting the 10% clause, i.e. issuing, which you did, a direct purchase order for the vacuum system, the big system which, where the vacuum pumps and station is. That removed enough money, which we then contributed to the project as county funds, to push it below the 10% mark, which then allowed me to negotiate with the state engineer for USDA that he would agree to a competitive change order, which we ran through Ms. Jennings, which we were able to get this below the average price on bid one and well below the price on bid two. So now we do meet all the criteria. We have a competitive pricing, we are below the 10%, and we're not impacting the timeline. All boxes checked, and we have one vendor, no finger pointing going on. So it is subject to USDA concurrence, but all the documents are sitting up with the USDA engineer. I expect concurrence as soon as you vote on it. So I'm very pleased to put Lockwood in the rearview mirror.
There you go. There you go. Good for you.
Yes, good for us. Pete, we move based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department. Change order number one for contract S22-07, Lockwood Community Area Expansion Construction Contract A, be approved, increasing the contract amount by $1,221,350, subject to USDA concurrence.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will get the motion carried. Mr. Ashman.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is sort of an update for a public hearing that we held for the proposed Red Fox Run expansion of the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. We met with the Red Fox Run board and provided details and potential costs for sewer service to their community. They then requested that we circulate our polling letters for interest. Those interests came back as 21 in favor and 14 opposed, 10 did not respond. We then requested County Council to give us permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing, which was approved on July 18th of 2023. The department sent notices, posted, and held the public hearing at the Milton Public Library on September 16th, and a PowerPoint presentation was presented to those in attendance. There was only 12 in attendance, actually, which was pretty low. But we notified them of the rate structure, potential costs, timelines, and there was two timelines, one based on the county going forward with the neighboring project, and the other one is with the DLDOT improvements to Cave Neck Road. It really matters on who goes first as to what their timeline was. We wanted to make that clear to them that we may get pushed back if we're waiting on DLDOT. And nobody there presented during the presentation desired to change their polling position, so we're still sitting at the 21 in favor and 14 opposed, and the department is recommending approval of the expansion.
You have a motion?
I have a resolution.
A resolution, I'm sorry.
A resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include the Red Fox Run subdivision on the west side of Coastal Highway. Parcel is located in the Broadkill 100, Sussex County, Delaware, recorded in the Office of Recorder and Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
I second it.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings, grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. First grant request is Missipillion Performance Series is requesting $3,500 for their Washington Saxophone Quartet performance. Funds will go towards operational expenses. Last grant for this organization was in the amount of $1,000 for a previous performance. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
I would like to offer $1,000 from the 3rd District account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
A second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 3 Council MAC account to the Missipillion Performance Series for performance by Washington Saxophone Quartet. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes, motion carried. Next.
And the second one is First State Community Action Agency is requesting $1,500 for their 58th annual celebration. Funds will go towards operational expenses. The last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $500 for their cleanup Georgetown project. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
I'll make a motion to grant $1,000 from my account.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 5 Council MAC account. The First State Community Action Agency for their 58th annual celebration. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction proposed zoning ordinances.
There are none today, so thank you.
Good job. Wow. Councilmember comments. Councilmember comments. Entertaining motion to go to executive session for land acquisition and collective bargaining.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. We're now in executive session downstairs.